Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Hi, this is Megan, and welcome to Genealogy Explorer, where we dive into the family history of listeners just like you. Today, we are here with genealogist Brad Greenland of Greenland Genealogy. With much of his family experiencing the harrowing and unforgiving crimes of the Holocaust, he is here to share a story of loss and survival that his family went through during that time. We are lucky to hear such profound and deeply personal chapters during this incredibly heartbreaking moment in history as we shed light on the enduring strength, love, and unimaginable courage that transcends generations. And this is a tale of remembrance, a testament to the indomitable spirit that emerged from the shadows of one of history's darkest periods. Without further ado, let's embark on this compelling exploration of Brad's family legacy. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brad.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself and give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. So I've been researching my family tree since I was about 16, so about 12 years now. I actually started on one of those free ancestry weekends. I feel like a lot of people get started on because I remember seeing the ad on TV, and my dad saying, like, you know, that could be fun to look into. And then, you know, at that point, I didn't even know his grandparents' names at all.
Right.
So, and then he gave me those, and we found the record for his grandfather coming here and becoming a citizen. And then it's kind of snowballed from there. And then in 2017, I started to write more about it, and I started my own genealogy business. Mm-hmm. And have been helping people trying to tell their own family stories for several years now. So.
That's amazing. I know a lot of genealogists start out that way, where it's just like a little thing you do on the weekend and you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. Let's try this out and see where this goes. And because that's what happened to me. It was like a little thing that I randomly did with my dad, and then it just kind of spiraled. So it's very funny how similar those stories are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where it's people don't realize how, like, why you can really spend hours on it. Mm-hmm. And once you start, next thing you know, it's like 4 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm just going to put in myself, my parents, I'm going to find out who my grandparents are. And then next thing you know, you're like 5 years later and you've got, you know, up to the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, and you're exactly. Still going, and you're like, oh my gosh, where am I? What year is it right now?
Exactly.
Like, it just, it is pretty incredible how, like, deep you can get into it. But yeah, could you go ahead and share your story with us? I know you mentioned to me that you had family that went through the Holocaust, so I would love to hear that from you.
Sure. So the story is about my two times great uncle, Aaron Grimland, and he was born in Kobrin, Poland, which is now in modern day Belarus. And he lived there for most of his life, and until 1938, he married his wife Anna, mm-hmm. and they moved to Warsaw shortly afterwards. And shortly after moving there, they welcomed their first child, Misha. And from there, they would, they start their lives in Poland. And unfortunately, in 1939, Nazi Germany began to invade, and they had heard an announcement that when the German army was going to arrive, that they would kill all the men in the city, mm-hmm. which caused Aaron to Phoenicia City. Not sure exactly where he went to, but he went to hiding outside of Warsaw until eventually Germany and the Soviet Union came to a non-aggression agreement for that area. So then he came back and returned to Warsaw and found his wife and his son, and they decided that they needed to get out of Warsaw for their own safety. And they had heard that there was a group which would help them and lead them from Warsaw to the more Soviet controlled areas. So they paid this group some money and they started to take them outside of Warsaw. But it turns out this group was actually part of a gang in the area,
Oh my
and they
God.
ended up and they ended up robbing them and everybody else that went along with them and leaving them with absolutely nothing. So at that point, they had a decision to either go back to Warsaw and potentially be killed by Nazis, or they could continue and try to find their way back to Soviet territory. So they decided to continue to go on to the Soviet territory, and they eventually ended up there, and they ended up in a house there. And then for a short time, but I guess shortly afterwards, the Soviet army actually came in and took everybody out of that house and sent them off to a gulag in Siberia.
Oh gosh.
Where they yeah, and they met they were faced with really awful conditions there. I mean, I know Siberia has to get down to like 60 below zero out there, and then it get in the winter, and then in the summer it gets really hot. And they were living in a little shack there and also working in the woods during the day. And then food supplies were really low, so a lot of people either died of starvation or they died of exhaustion or a combination of the two, because it was just really bad conditions there. And unfortunately, their toddler Misha was one of the people who died of starvation while they were there. So it was just absolutely terrible that they were going through all of this, and then they ended up losing their son too, in order to try and but even when they were trying to survive. And so they were there for, believe it was a couple of years. And shortly afterwards, I guess the Russian, or even the Polish army, was allowed to have a presence within Russia during the time to help fight Germany. And they went to their gulag and started trying to recruit people to try to join the Polish army to fight back. And my 2 times great uncle Aaron would he tried to sign up for to join the army, because probably had that feeling of, well, it's either stay here and possibly starve to death, or I could go fight Germany and try to win the war. But when he But apparently, when he tried to do that, the Polish army wouldn't allow him to join because he was Jewish. And
Well, that seems to
which
be counterproductive.
exactly. So it's like, so he ended up going back to the camp and staying there for a while. And then eventually they got moved to Kursk, which is in modern day Ukraine. That was sometime later, and they actually welcomed their daughter shortly afterwards when they were there. And they were there for till probably towards the end of the war, and afterwards they were able to go to Warsaw to see, because at this point they didn't know if anyone in their family had survived. They didn't know if their house was even still there that they were living in. And so they were trying to let them come back to Warsaw, and from there they were looking around, and they received word that Aaron's mother and The siblings that were that had stayed there, except for one, had all been killed during this time, and their house was completely destroyed. So from there, they had nowhere, they had absolutely nowhere to go. They had nothing. But luckily, her so Anna's brother had a he lived in Argentina at that time. He lived there for years, and he was actually working with my great grandfather, who lived in New York. They were working together through the National Refugee Service to both get updates on Aaron and Anna, and also help get them out of Europe, because they really, I mean, they had it was completely destroyed at that point. So what they were able to arrange was they were able to arrange for them to travel up to Sweden, the three of them to travel up to Sweden from Poland, and from Sweden they would travel to the United States, where they'd meet my great grandfather and start their lives over again, the US. So they make their way up to Sweden, and unfortunately they get to Sweden, and guess along the way something had fallen through, and they were not able to go into Sweden. They weren't able to hop on a boat to get to America. They had to kind of just they were kind of sent back, and they weren't able to do anything there. So they were able to get in touch with Anna's brother again in Argentina, and I guess they just decided to have them he had to have the three of them come to Argentina. So, but in order for them to do that, though, they had to make their way down and out to, or down from Sweden and out to France. And they were able to take a boat from France to Brazil, and they were able to, and that's where her brother met them there. And then they went to Argentina, and they stayed the rest of their lives there, and they were able to start rebuilding their lives. They made and sold clothing out of their tiny little house, and they were able to raise their daughter, and then they had another son while they were there. And it just kind of shows how resilient they really were.
So do you still have family in the Argentina area, or do they eventually leave?
So their daughter is actually still living down there. She actually is has a one woman show down there, and she actually tells their story quite frequently around there. And she's actually known in the area for telling this story. And I've actually been able to get in touch with her because we happened to find I was found some pictures after my grandfather had passed, and there was a picture on the bag, and in the bag it said it was in Spanish. It was from their daughter and their son Roberto, and we had the idea of, like, how many Roberto Gremlins could there possibly be in this world? So so we just Googled the name, and he didn't pop up, but his sister did, and I was able to reach out to her, and luckily I was able to get this story from her.
That's incredible. I mean, that just shows like the resilience that they had just to even go through that, like how you were describing the camps that they were in, like even going, you said 60 below, and then like getting all those that heat up and no food and like no nothing. Like, I can't think of many people who would even just suffer through that and then keep going.
Same. Like, it's incredible that they made it.
I mean, that is you hear stories like this, but then you don't, like sometimes you don't really think like what would I do in that situation? What would you do in that situation? Like that's insane. I mean, the cruelty behind it is just like it's not describable.
No, it's not. It's and well, and I'm glad that my family that's in the United States, they were able to find out that they made their way to Argentina, because they were, they had no way of knowing, and they ended up being kind of they all started in Poland, then some went to the US, one ended up in Israel, and then they ended up in Argentina. So it's
Oh my gosh.
very it's
Yeah,
It's
everyone's
incredible that
all
they survived.
exactly like everyone's like, yeah, everyone's all over the place, it seems. And let me ask, what so how did the knowledge of your family's history during the Holocaust impact your own identity and self and sense of self?
So with me, it was kind of like, I wasn't raised like in Judaism. I mean, we had my dad's family lives in the area, so we on like Jewish holidays we'd get together and celebrate that. But then learning about these stories and my own family history, it's like I've really started to kind of identify a lot with like the Jewish side of my family. Kind of like you really I was able to build that personal connection to it, and really like it's become very like important to me since learning all these stories and trying to keep all these stories alive and keep telling them forever. So
Right. I mean, so just even learning your background, like it makes you who you are as a person. I mean, I feel like a lot of people can say that.
it's really interesting how like if people go into their family history not knowing anything, and then once you learn, like, oh, my family's from like from Spain or from Poland, it was like, and now and then that something happens in that country, and it's like you feel like a personal connection to it. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, like you kind of have this ancestral tie to it now that you know with the knowledge that you have. It's I feel like that's very important, especially like I find typically like America, because I'm not American, I'm English, so like I have complete ties to England, but I find that when I do research for Americans, when they find out what they are beyond being American, they find themselves really attaching themselves to that.
Absolutely.
But people are interested, like going beyond, like where was my family before being in America? And then when people find
Exactly.
that out, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm Italian or I'm French or I'm this, I'm that. And people really tie themselves to that.
Because I mean I've with me you know, with the Jewish side of my family, I'm like all Eastern Europe, and then with my mom's side of the family, it's Hungary, it's England, it's Ireland, so I'm really kind of all over the place.
Right, exactly. Like I love doing American genealogy because you guys are from all over the place. Like honestly, it is the ties that you guys have is amazing. Well, that is a great tie into my next question. So how and what and sorry, in what ways has this story shaped your journey as a genealogist?
I've really kind of latched on to like being able to tell these stories, and really like it kind of humanizes the people like on that you find like in your census, or like you find like a name. They're not just a name anymore. They're just there. You have an actual story of what exactly they went through and what they experienced in their lives, and it kind of really kind of humanizes all of them, humanizes all of them.
I think there was one episode I did recently where someone was saying that there was a good quote where it's like stories are just data with soul. We had a someone who came
I
in who
like
said
that.
that. Yeah, and you find like you were saying, you see all these names on census records and you go, okay, well, there's that guy. But then you find out who these people, then you find out who these people really were and what they went through and the struggles and the hardships and how they built their lives. And it's just it puts a face and like kind of a story to the name in your records.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, like, on my other, on my English side, there were one of my, I think it was my fourth great grandfather. He was at the Peterloo Massacre, but in the 1800s. So he was only like 19. And I had first never heard of that before. Then I found his headstone and this kind of wondered, like, wow, he was at like this major event there, and because he was trying to get voting rights for all the weavers in the area.
Right, of course. I
Yes, and
mean,
again, is he on from a lot? He came up from a long line of loom weavers, so he was.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you it's also interesting to like you were saying, like big events in history and finding out your family was like a part of that. Like that is pretty fascinating because you can kind of like line up your own family history with like world history, and I think that's very
Exactly.
fascinating.
Me too.
So how has your understanding of your family's history during the Holocaust influenced your worldview and your perspective of like human rights and justice, especially with having such personal ties?
I know for me, I mean, it kind of, I mean, I know you hear about like, all the terrible events that happened are happening in the world currently. And it's very easy to kind of distance yourself from that because it's very like it's not here. It's like all the way to the other side of the world. It's it's very easy to kind of distance yourself from that. But like I like to think about, if something's not, even if something's not getting a lot of like coverage or something, think about during World War II. I mean, a lot of the terrible things that were happening during the Holocaust, I mean, those were not, that was not front page news. That was like maybe like the back page of the newspaper. It wasn't very like wasn't as important to people as people really should have realized. And it's kind of it, so I'm able to kind of understand more, and like I try to become more aware of what's really of what's going on in the world. And it really helps with trying to make sure that like I'm able to kind of give stuff like attention that it needs, or like I'm able to kind of not or not, it makes me care more about what's going on in the world. And to really like not like be like dismissive of that from happening.
I think there's a lot of truth to that, because a lot of people on other sides of the world, they like to say, well, how does that affect me? I don't know anyone that's over there, like the things that are
Exactly.
happening in Gaza and the Congo and things like that. And people are just kind of like, I don't know anyone over there, why should I care? But like
Exactly.
a lot of people ask, like, or a lot of people think to themselves, oh my gosh, if the Holocaust was happening, what would I have done? How could I have helped? Like a lot of people think that when they talk about the Holocaust. And I'm like, well, what are you doing right now? Because stuff like that's happening all over the world. Like,
Exactly.
how are you helping right now? Your answer to that question is your actions right now. And
Exactly.
I think it's very important, you know, even having those ties or not having those ties, it's important to be aware of the atrocities happening in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then people's that like the think about like after the Holocaust, people are like, oh, like anti-Semitism doesn't exist anymore or anything like that. But then I'll post something about my family history, about my Jewish side, and I'll get, or especially if I post anything about the story I just told with Aaron and Anna, like I get a lot of like, there's a lot of ignorant, hateful comments that come in, and it's like it's still here. It's much more. I didn't realize how much of it there was going to be until I started doing that, but
Oh
it's.
yeah. You get a
And
lot of
it's,
Holocaust deniers and people like that. It's
oh
crazy.
yes, it's a lot of really awful things. It's like, I read them, it's like that's why would, I understand like why someone would do that, but
I know we can go on about that like forever though, because like I feel like that's a, such a sensitive topic, but I don't want to stray too much from that, because like yeah, I mean that's important, that's what your family went through, and like you know it's happening even still today, and I feel like people don't really give it much attention, or if they do, they're like dismissive of it.
exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, are there any particular artifacts, letters, documents that hold significance in your family's Holocaust story? Anything that's like tangible that you could like provide?
Oh, absolutely. So I have all the correspondence between my great grandfather and the National Refugee Service with all the updates of where Aaron and Anna were. I also have his immigration records from when he went from France to Brazil. I have, it's all in Portuguese, so but I was able to kind of, you're able to kind of get the gist of it. But like it's, it has a picture of him on there, which I like find very valuable. And yeah, so, and I also have a picture of him that their daughter provided me, of it's Aaron, Anna, and then Aaron's mother, and it's the only picture I have of her. That I think it's the only one that survived the war, with that one picture of her. So like I hold that very near and dear to my heart. Like it's
Yeah, because
very,
a lot of stuff during the Holocaust was destroyed, books, pictures, documents. So I can
it
imagine
was
how
all
hard
burned,
that.
or it was, yeah, it was either burned or it was destroyed during the fighting.
Yeah, I can imagine how hard that would be to get that, because I didn't like Because the Holocaust really left a really gaping hole in genealogy. Like a lot of stuff,
Absolutely.
yeah, a lot of stuff was destroyed. A lot of things, like a lot of people were killed, and like so that ended a lot of like bloodlines just in general. A lot of documents were destroyed. A lot of like photos and a lot of stuff was just gone, like in an instant. And that a lot of people don't talk about that, but it really
No.
does. Like it really did hurt that kind of topic and like that kind of genealogy. Like even I mean, obviously the Holocaust was a disaster and an awful thing just in general, but if you're just focused on like the actual human genealogy side of it, I mean it was also a disaster in that aspect as well.
Absolutely. And I know there's some sources that like of the surviving documents there's like Yad Vashem that's in based in Israel. They're the biggest Holocaust like record museum, and I've actually that's why I found a lot about my two times great grandmother who was killed. I learned a lot from her because I think he's the son of like one of my great great uncles or aunts, and he was able to fill out the he knew the information, so he filled out this form for them, and the kind of document that she existed. And that's all on that on their website and in their archive. And I was actually when I got that picture of her, I was able to kind of crop it, and I actually I sent that over to Yad Vashem, and so now that's within their archives as well as her, like that picture of her. So there's so if people come across it one day, even after I'm gone, like that will still her image will still live on.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's important. That's so like just even having that like to transcend generations is so important because a lot of people's identities were just kind of snuffed out during that period.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this finally, what message or legacy? Because I know you said that you wanted to, you know, for example, have that photo of her to go on for generations. What message or legacy do you hope to leave for future generations based on your family's experience during the Holocaust?
Just especially these stories, like this kind of making sure that these stories are able to be told and written down, because even not just with with the Holocaust or anything, but like just like generations pass on, and then like these stories just die with them no matter what. So it's very like important to just be able to pass these stories on and make sure that the memories of all these people are able to live on.
I see, like that's the most important thing, just to make sure that, you know, people might die, but like, you know, hopefully their stories don't die with them. Like
Exactly.
I've always said, like I've always heard and said, you die twice. You die once when you actually die, and then you die a second time when your name is said for the last time.
I've heard that a lot too. So it's it's a very accurate statement, and it's very important to keep all of them, keep their names alive. Because I mean, I know with Aaron, I mean, he died back in the 60s, but I'm still saying his name today. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your story with me. Could you tell everyone where we could find you on Greenland Genealogy, where we can find you on social medias?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and then there's also and all the handles on those are at Greenland Genealogy, all one word. And I also have my website, greenlandgenealogy.wordpress.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing
First
that with
thing.
us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to share a family story with us and come onto the podcast, you can email me at genealogywithmegan@gmail.com. You can also find me on TikTok and Instagram at Genealogy Explorer. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening in.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Get ready to rack to school at your Nordstrom Rack store, because the deals are amazing. Levi's, Adidas, Volcom, and Hurley from only $20. Save on everyone's favorite denim, sneakers, boots, backpacks, and more at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry, get first dibs on new arrivals from just $20 and make it the best school year ever. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.